All right. Well, welcome, welcome. And we hope you are ready to learn some more things, a little hints in HR. Again, my name is Nicole Block. I've been with you for this series, and it's been an honor and a pleasure to meet so many fantastic people in our field. I want to introduce our panel to you today. So we do have, of course, the fantastic Becca Ramadi. She's our Vice President of TAAEF and knows all things. So I do definitely rely on her for several of the wonderful things Education Foundation does and represents. And I want to introduce our panel today. Yes. Of course. Thank you. I want to introduce our panel today just briefly because I want to give them an opportunity to introduce themselves. They have a fantastic story, and I know that you guys will enjoy hearing their hints from HR. And as you guys know, with the Room to Grow campaign, we did a special maintenance edition. And so we felt like with hints of HR, maybe we should do a special maintenance edition to coordinate with that. So I want to first introduce Iris Sanchez. She works for Camden, and she is a recruiter for the West Coast. So welcome, Iris. And if you want to take a moment and talk to us about how you joined the industry and kind of where you are now.
Yes, ma'am. So I started off in the industry right after I graduated from college over at Texas A&M University. Whoop! All my Aggies out there. I actually moved into a Camden property, and you know, you just get really close to some of those leasing consultants. And we were talking about life, and I talked about how I really wasn't enjoying my job after college. And so she asked if I had ever thought about the industry, and I was like, oh, I hadn't. So I thought a little bit about it, you know, and I applied, and I got my first position as a leasing consultant, and I kind of grew up here at Camden. I've been here for 16 years, going on my 17th year this year, and went through all the operations positions up to a community manager. I was a community manager in our Houston portfolio for about 6 to 7 years before I flipped over to our recruiting side. So I will tell you that is very helpful when you're recruiting for people in all of these positions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say definitely if you sat in most of those seats, you can give some, you know, firsthand testimony, right, as to what to expect. So thank you, Iris. We appreciate your feedback today. And I know that you'll do a great job. So I also want to introduce Jason Fine. Jason's also with Camden, and he is our National Maintenance Service Director. So basically, he's in charge of all things maintenance for Camden. So Jason, if you can please share your story of how you got into industry and where you are now.
Sure. Thanks, Nicole. So I started out in construction, actually. I was working in a lumberyard, and then I got into construction, and I was living at an apartment community. They had an opening, and so they approached me and actually asked me, hey, would you like to join the team? And I was a little apprehensive at first, but then they started talking about the benefits and how you can, you know, the rent discounts and that was attractive when you're 21, 22 years old and you need a little extra cash in your pocket. So I took the opportunity and I became a maintenance tech, and then I enjoyed it. So I stayed and I kept working up the chain, and I took the time to find new opportunities. So I became a maintenance supervisor and a director. Along the way, I tried to move in a couple different directions to try to further my career. But maintenance kept sucking me right back in and giving me more opportunities. So I joined the capital team with a previous company. I was on the reposition team, and then Camden came along and gave me an opportunity to help all of the maintenance teams at all of our properties. So I joined them a couple of years ago, and I've been loving it ever since. So
that's fantastic.
That's my career.
Yeah. And so it's interesting enough. So we, you know, obviously the Hints of HR series talks to the job seeker and then also talks to the people that are currently in, you know, in multifamily. And we all have a different story as to how we got here. Both of you guys lived on site, you know, so you happen to have that grassroots knowledge, that connection here and there. But that also kind of segues into why we're here, because people are finding us in different ways. And that's why the Texas Apartment Association's Education Foundation is so important, and why these type of webinars are so important, is to get the word out in as many platforms as we can. Because a lot of people said, hey, you know, you look like you could sell apartments, or hey, what's your background? But we're getting a more, you know, diverse group, and we're hoping to continue down that path. But why we're here specifically to talk about, you know, maintenance is that we want to see for the job seeker, you know, what to expect kind of in the maintenance field. So we can talk through, you know, again, what you look for in those candidates, Iris and Jason. And then also for the industry, people that are already in multifamily, how do you retain? How do you find and retain? So those are the two main topics we'll talk about today. So let's start with Iris. So Iris, you know, when you're recruiting for a maintenance position, You know, what characteristics are you looking for? Where are you finding these candidates? So maybe those two things, if you want to start.
Absolutely. So typically, of course, we look at our website and our job at CamdenLiving.com, CamdenCareers.com. That's where I look first, because obviously some job seekers are looking to work for specific companies. So I definitely want to go after those first. Then I look at like the apartment associations, obviously Houston Apartment Association, Texas Apartment Association. You guys also have the capability where we can access resumes through that. Obviously, these are people that are already looking in our industry. So that's always a plus. Then I also look at Indeed. Indeed is obviously a fabulous platform that allows lots of job seekers to at least see a ton of different positions. So I go there. And then I'll usually hit up some technical schools if we are looking for some green candidates and we're able to train those folks that are getting those EPA certifications and CPO certifications, looking towards those people, because obviously they're looking to get into a position and grow from there.
Yeah.
Now, as far as, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, but I was going to say, has anything changed in the questions that you ask? I know that, you know, we were talking about that before, just, you know, maintenance and how it's changed over the past couple of years. Has anything changed as far as what you ask?
So I really like to ask where they see themselves in 5 years. Obviously, with the retain aspect, we are looking to keep these folks long term. So that is one of the questions I like to ask to kind of see where their brain is. Do they want to continue to be in this industry? Do they want to be a maintenance supervisor? Or are they looking to open their own handyman business? That's just a good gauge for me to see, okay, how long can I keep this person? Can I keep them engaged to keep them longer?
Jason, what about you? What do you do to paint the picture when you're interviewing maintenance candidates, when you're, you know, when you're talking to them?
Sure. I like to make sure that they walk into their new career with their eyes wide open. I mean, that's really important. If you're looking for a job that is just HVAC work, and then you come in and your first day, you might be picking up trash or you might be cleaning the pool. And that's not something that you're looking for.
That's probably what you started with, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing. It's, you want to make sure that everybody comes in eyes wide open, especially with the on-call schedule. I mean, that can be a deal breaker for some people if you like your weekends off and your after hours from time to time. So it's important that if you're with a candidate and you're interviewing them, that you tell them you're going to be doing a whole myriad of different job duties. You might be picking up trash. You might be doing HVAC work. That's the rewarding part to me, is the, you know, being able to touch different career types, I guess, is how you would put it. Carpentry, plumbing, electrical, and then being able to help residents. So that's the fun part, but it's very important to let them know.
Yeah, we're seeing that trend, though. I know that, you know, whenever you talk about the technical school, if they're going to HVAC school to get that certification, you know, we talked about that when we did our debrief with Jason and Iris, too, is that, you know, certification, you know, is important to a point, but application and experience also weigh into that equation, too. So by painting that picture, if someone comes in and thinks, hey, I'm HVAC certified, all I'm doing is working on ACs. What are you doing the rest of the time? You know, so I think painting that picture is really important. And I know, Jason, you had talked about, you know, also kind of gauging their attitude. Like if they're not, you know, if they don't know that they're picking up, you know, pet after pets, you know, and they don't understand that. Or I think you said a couple of times you look at their face to see what their reaction is going to be, right?
Right.
Then I think it helps to gauge that, you know, but I think but again, being able to paint that picture is, you know, definitely important. But going back to a challenge. So many of you guys, if you're in the industry out in the audience, you might be on the office side of the house and you might be the one that are responsible, you know, for interviewing these maintenance candidates. Iris, I'd love for you to kind of talk through how you learned to speak maintenance. I think that's kind of a fun story. But I think that's important for our management team if we're interviewing these candidates to know what we're looking for. So can you share your story, Iris?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was promoted to a community manager, my first community, the maintenance folks, there was a language barrier. So they all spoke Spanish. And so I really had to get in there and learn and look to see what the issue was with the maintenance team so that I could go back and translate that to the residents and also to vendors. So for me, I got to really luckily early on learn that, how to speak maintenance in my career. That was just invaluable to be able to do that and really understand what your maintenance team is doing out there, you know, the time constraints, and just being able to really know what works in that type of position when you're hiring. So
yeah, and it'll help. Well, yeah, when you're hiring, you know exactly. Well, maybe not exactly, but you have a great good appreciation idea for it. Yeah, and then Jason, you know, you also had some great feedback for, you know, the managers that you've seen that are the most successful as far as relating to their maintenance teams. Can you share with us some of the characteristics that you've seen in your career?
Sure. I've worked with a lot of different managers, and the ones that I saw had supported me the best and the team, the maintenance team, the best were the ones that were out in the field with us. So go out in the field, see it firsthand. If there's an issue with the pool pump, if there's an issue with the boiler, there's a vendor on site and we have the boiler open, come take a look. Let's point out the parts and see exactly what the issue is. So then that way you can be able to better gauge what the impact is going to be to the residents and the team. And then you'll have a better understanding of exactly what is the timeline to repair it, as well as be able to speak maintenance in the future.
Absolutely. Are there any other items, Jason? I know Iris touched on some of the questions that she asked, but knowing that in some cases, the office manager is the one, he or she will be interviewing that candidate. Are there specific things that you would suggest that we have them cover to ensure they get the best quality candidate and talk to that job seeker and paint that picture accurately?
In my interviews, I love to ask questions such as, you know, what are you looking for in a company? You know, what sort of questions do you have for me? Sometimes the types of questions that they have about the job can actually portray the picture of exactly what they're looking for. So if they ask a lot of questions about job duties, or if they talk about teamwork and will I be working in a team or will I be working by myself? That can really help you understand what sort of candidate you're getting here, and then be able to understand if he or she's going to be a good fit for the team. So if they're going to be interns by themselves and they're looking for that opportunity to collaborate and work with their peers, then it might not be a good fit. Whereas if it's maybe a floating team that's going from property to property, and they're going to be able to collaborate more in a team environment, then yeah, that person's going to thrive. So it's important to be able to set them up for success in the future.
Yeah, and to both of your points, if you can speak maintenance and as a manager, then you can phrase those questions and put them in situational, you know, kind of, you know, experiences to where they can give, you know, their feedback and how they would handle it. But if you don't have an appreciation, you know, then you wouldn't understand the answer anyway, probably. So what about some tips? So I know that, you know, before we kind of jump on to another topic, what are some tips that you would give any of the job seekers that are interviewing for a maintenance position in this case with our companies? Iris, I know you feel pretty strongly about one of them, but what would be your maintenance tips? And then Jason will let you do the same.
So for maintenance folks, I would definitely highly recommend that they don't badmouth past employers. Obviously, that's the number one rule in when you're interviewing for a position. Don't do that. It makes my job a little bit easier because I can weed those folks out, but it still pains me because I'm like, if I can just tell you and give you that tip so that you do get the next position that you interview for, there's always a PC way to say, you know, maybe it wasn't a good culture fit, or maybe, you know, there was another issue. But always just keep in mind kind of what you tell your hopefully future employer. So that you don't get mixed up in that negativity and turn off that recruiter or turn off that hiring manager.
And like we said, generally people aren't looking to leave because they're just so happy, you know?
Right.
So there's definitely a reason, but there's a diplomatic way to say that for sure. Absolutely. Jason, what about you?
Yeah, for me, I've hired some maintenance technicians that came from different fields. So one of my best hires, he was actually a manager at a deli. And he came into the interview and he was open and upfront about it and said, I don't know a lot about maintenance. I've changed light switches. I know how to fix light fixtures. I can do minor maintenance, but I want to work hard and I can do this. And we gave him an opportunity, but because he was upfront and he said he's flexible and he you could tell that he had that drive, we hired him. And he actually grew very well at the last company I worked at. And he turned into a facilities manager. So like myself, he started out as a maintenance tech. He kept that same drive and passion and great attitude. And in the end, he ended up being one of the top maintenance employees for the company. So
that's wonderful. My tips.
As part of the association and not on property, I think that's one of the most exciting things about the industry is that someone can start without experience and just have to be willing to work hard and have that drive, and they can be so successful here.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about culture fits too, and for the job seeker and for the operators and suppliers and, you know, in our audience, is that it does have to be a fit on both sides. But to Jason's point, if the candidate comes in, as the operator should too, transparent and open, and just bear, because you can't train attitude. You know, we can train you to do, to check that mark, that, you know, check the checklist, right? But I can't train you to wake up in the morning and be driven to be better than you were yesterday. So I think that that's definitely something that I think that's great. And that's a wonderful story for him that, you know, you're sharing that for years to come. And I bet you he shares the same, like, hey, someone took a chance on me. Right. And now look at what I've been able to accomplish. So we talked about job descriptions recently. And we talked about them as a tool. They're only as good as maybe the tool itself. And several companies might not have looked at job descriptions in 10 years. So let's talk about maintenance tests. So I feel, just from talking to lots of people in my industry, that maybe their maintenance test could be a decade old as well. Might need a little bit of a revamp. What are your thoughts on that as a tool? We'll start with Jason on this one. How you feel about maintenance tests, or how you've used other types of tests in the past?
So when I joined my first job in the maintenance field, I had to take one of those tests, and you know, it was fine. I mean, it was a little nerve wracking. I mean, if you're nervous and maybe you don't understand the questions, maybe you might not answer them correctly. So I use it as a tool. It's a good first step to be able to kind of dip my toes in the water. Is this candidate going to be a good fit? Where is their experience level? And then from there, I think one of the best things you can do is take them in a vacant apartment and show them around and have them show you around and open up an AC and say, what do you see? And they'll answer you and they'll point it out. And an experienced maintenance tech will point everything out. And they'll be able to tell you exactly how the Freon works through the system and how the airflow goes through and how it's filtered out. And they'll tell you all that, right? Whereas somebody who just got their CFC certification and they haven't, you know, touched a gauge forever, then they'll come in and they'll be a little bit more apprehensive, and you can see it in their body language and in their confidence. So I think the tests are a great first step, but there's nothing that can, you know, put a candle next to actually being in an apartment and talking about maintenance and what they know.
Yeah. Well, and I would say, you know, Iris's perspective, which is probably a little different, because I don't know that she has a bunch of maintenance apartments behind her on her recruiting calls that she can walk through with people. But I do know that she uses other types of tests from other platforms. If you kind of share your experience, Iris, with, you know, how Camden approaches the testing or how you've done it in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jason's team, we have some trainers within Camden that actually help the recruiters in giving us some of those, you know, high level questions that we can ask maintenance candidates to kind of gauge if we think they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
We also utilize, Indeed has some really cool assessment tests that you can require. So like the maintenance test, maintenance skills test, where they kind of gives you, are they an expert level? Are they an amateur? Are they proficient? So we can kind of gauge, okay, well, this candidate is maybe proficient. Maybe he doesn't have the solid foundation, but we are willing to train. So let's take a look at this candidate.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think some of the other things that we've talked about as well is when you're looking at those tests for the operators, you know, are they 100 questions? Are they up with the technology? Think about what's changed for our service technicians and maintenance teams over the past 6 months, heck, 2 to 3 years. Does your maintenance team, are you selecting someone that's going to be able to work for you now or work for you 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind too when you're taking a look. But at those tests, and also what language are they in? I know we've talked about that too. Similar to what Jason's point was, is that, you know, is someone with English as their second language able to complete that test? But if you take them into the apartment, to your point, Jason, they can show you and walk you through the process. So just a little tip for our operators out there to see if it's something you can take a look at, so you can use it as a tool. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure you have all the tools you can. So now you hired them, right? So you've hired this fantastic candidate. Iris has found them. Jason blesses them. It's going to be an amazing journey. Let's talk about the journey. Let's talk about retention. So this is for the job seeker as well. If you're looking for in this industry to grow within, this is going to be important to know. And as an operator or a supplier, this is also going to hopefully have you ask questions about your retention plan. We'll share what Camden is currently doing and what we've seen in the past with some other companies. But but you start asking those questions. So we'll start with Jason. Jason, talk to us about how you approach retention for your service team specifically at Camden.
That it starts with, do we have managers or do we have leaders on our sites, right? If we have managers and we're just task oriented, then everybody's going to come to work and they're just going to fulfill tasks. We're going to check those boxes. We're going to go home. But am I empowering or am I engaging my team? And I think that's where it all comes down to the secret sauce is, are you giving everybody an opportunity to do something that makes them feel like they're part of a team and not just a number, right? Mm-hmm. So at Camden, one of the things that we've worked on is developing future leaders. If I'm a maintenance tech and I come to work every day and I do my tickets and I do my turns, but I don't know what my future holds or I don't know what is in store for me, then I might start looking elsewhere, right? Whereas if I'm a maintenance tech and I'm doing my tickets and turns, but maybe I'm part of a program, a leadership program, mm-hmm. and I get to learn how to be a leader and then what it takes to be a maintenance supervisor of the future, then I'm going to become engaged. And that's in my past, that's what I had, is I had a leader that actually took the time to show me the different pieces of what it took to be a maintenance supervisor. And I'll tell you what, I stayed. I didn't look for other jobs. I got all those emails that said, hey, you know, there's an opportunity at this company, there's an opportunity at that company.
And Iris, she's sending them? Wait a minute.
Looking for you.
And I responded every single time with, no, I'm happy right now. It's because I was, because I was engaged. I was doing something that was interesting.
I think that's definitely valid, Jason. And I want to dig a little deeper on that, because there's sometimes with companies pockets of excellence to where you have people that are natural leaders and naturally in power, but then that's only in that silo. So Camden's approach is a little bit different as far as like adopting a, you know, almost like a mantra with, you know, and a program, if you will. Can you walk through the program that we discussed as far as kind of that roadmap? Can you talk through specifically for Camden?
Yeah, sure. We have a road to maintenance program. And what it is it's a leadership training program for our maintenance techs. And what it does is it breaks down a maintenance supervisor position into a couple key components. So the service requests and the turnovers and how to use the computer and what sort of systems we have. And so it breaks everything down into bite-sized chunks. Like my dad said, when I was going back to college, he said, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. Same sort of situation here. Let's give them pieces, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times we take a great maintenance tech, we throw them in as a supervisor, and then they sink or swim.
Yeah.
Now imagine as a maintenance tech, I get to go through a program and be able to learn about what it takes. And I get to get my feet wet and do that take that responsibility on in chunks.
Yeah.
And then when I become a supervisor, now all of a sudden I'm more successful. But while I'm a tech, you're engaging me and you're getting me involved.
So let's talk about this specifically. So at Camden, you guys added additional layers of responsibility, if you will. So, you know, one of the things you mentioned is that, you know, as you continue to grow with your skill set, you end up being on the biggest, baddest, you know, beast of the region. And so you don't have the bandwidth to continue to maybe grow on your leadership skills. So you created a program to where you almost have like these, you know, little, like I call them pods. So you can talk through, how you use your experts.
Well, like you said, in the past, you grow to the biggest, baddest property. And so you have your best supervisor at the toughest community, and the burnout rate is high. So what we did is we started up a market maintenance supervisor position, which is we take the best, the best maintenance employee, the one that is cut his teeth and earned his stripes at that big property. And then we make them the market maintenance supervisor. And now they can be able to go to a smaller community, but then support the rest of the properties. So that engages them as well too. So now you're retaining some of your best talent and you're giving them an opportunity to learn the next level. And then
and the soft skills are what, like you said, you're trying to grow leaders for sure.
Right.
So you have the market supervisors and then they roll up into eventually, you know, regional service managers, but that layer is so key, but you're also giving them the opportunity to learn that. I think so many times that burnout rate is just so key. You know, and you kind of get yourself in a position to where it's like, I can't leave. I can't, you know, my hourly rate is this and my experience is this, but I can't jump. Let's talk to Iris real quick about that, because, you know, what Jason just said is crucial and fantastic. And how do you sell that? So now you put your recruiter hat on, you have your job seeker. How do you sell that to ensure that candidate knows kind of what their plan is.
Yeah. So that goes back to that question I love to ask about, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And if they tell me they want to be a maintenance supervisor, that's exactly when I throw in, oh, well, that is great to hear. We have a program called Road to Maintenance. And yeah. as you can imagine, as a recruiter now, having all of that bench strength that are ready for maintenance supervisor positions, you know, Camden promotes within. We love to promote from within. 75% of our opportunities go to internal candidates. Mm-hmm. So to be able to sell that to somebody who wants that is just, it's invaluable.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that the challenge, so, you know, we've been talking to the job seeker a little bit, but then let's talk to the operators and the suppliers here. You know, is it, you know, do you have to have a robust system tomorrow that has a full road to maintenance? And because this took years for them to develop, right? You guys were asking questions and it evolves and you trial and error. But we just want to make sure that you guys are asking the questions. You know, how are you ensuring that you're able to retain your talent? I think it's brilliant what Camden has done as far as, you know, I know as an industry, we put our best on the hardest asset. I mean, that's just kind of how it happens, right? You're going to send your best lease up team to the most difficult market. You're going to send your best maintenance team to the beast. A lot of times they're always called the beast. I don't know why they're always just called the beast, right? I think that's industry wide. But I think that by realizing that doesn't actually serve a long-term purpose, and then that burns out our best associates, I think stepping back and asking yourself that question and being able to turn a corner is fantastic. Is there anything else? I know where our time is almost up. Believe it or not, I told you guys it would fly. But you know, is there anything else I want to give you just a minute, Jason and Iris? We'll start with Jason. Just anything else that you would, you know, as far as advice you would give to any maintenance candidates that are out there, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to piggyback though on the last topic though.
Yeah.
Imagine, so the old model is you have your best maintenance supervisor at the toughest asset, the beast. Imagine now you take them and they become the MMS. You put a new person at that beast. Now you have two people that can actually help support the beast.
Absolutely.
So instead of somebody being in the boat alone, they've got somebody there that's helping them. So
love it.
In regards to the question about what I would say to an operator or to somebody new to the industry, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. When I was in high school, I didn't say, I want to be a maintenance employee and paint apartments and fix AC units. I didn't say that. I fell into it. But you know what? I tell my kids every day that, you know what? This is a great industry. And it look what it's provided us, right? It's
sure.
provided us a home and it's provided us what we need. So as far as an operator, I would say, you know, continue to strive to look for those people with great attitudes. I know we always look for the person with all the the qualifications and they're the
right.
greatest employee ever, but guess what? They're being retained by us.
Yeah.
They're being retained by everybody else. You know, that unicorn we're looking for is probably at another property going through a training program and being groomed for future leadership. So
perfect.
You know, be open to training that new employee, that green.
Yeah.
The green
employee. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right, Iris.
Absolutely. Just go after what you want. Those techs, you know, definitely follow up. If it's a company you really want to work for, follow up. I mean, there's a ton of guys out there and a lot of folks don't return calls. So if you really want that position, follow up and go for it.
No, that's fantastic. Again, my name is Nicole Block. Becca and I, we want to extend our, you know, just thank you so much. We're so grateful for you guys, Jason and Iris, for participating today. All of you guys out in social media land for lending us your ear. Please let us know any topics that you want to see in the future so we can continue to just make our industry that much more robust with good job seekers meeting up with the right operator and supplier. So have a wonderful day and we appreciate you.